Yes, hello, Chris. It's good to be back here at 2SER 107.3 here in Sydney. Oh, what a week, what a week, what a week. I'm sure you're just dying to chew over some of the gristle after this week. I'm Starvin' Marvin. And, of course, we're going to talk about a little bit about poor old ScoMo. He can't have women marching into his offices. He's got problems with his ex-staffers. The disaster relations bill's a bloody mess. In Sydney and New South Wales, we're getting told to stay home with the rain. Can't go out. First it's the pandemic, now it's the rain. Oh, it's a lot of things to talk about here, Gristlers. You stay tuned here to SER 107.3. We're going to be back with you in a moment. Oh, yes, Gristlers, those dulcet tones there of the beautiful Gristle theme. I've just forgotten who they are now. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Not to worry. Look, I'm Starvin' Marvin, and up north I think we have on the telephone, if I put it up there, we've got Stormin' Norman. Stormin', are you you're getting a bit damp up there? How's your feet?
I'm actually down south.
Down south?
I'm coming to you from beautiful Hobart tonight.
Hobart. Well, I'm sure we can ask
no
you about...
No rain down here.
You've been talking to Tasmanian Greens, so we can get something... there's no rain down there. Okay, well, that's good to know. I can't talk to you about what's going to be happening up in the tropical north. Anyway, of course, in studio, we have Demo Crazy. Demo, how crazy has it been this week?
It's been crazy. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. It's been crazy in Canberra. We had... women marching everywhere, all over the nation. It started off in Perth after a certain election. Oh God, we didn't talk about that election, did we? We should put that on the agenda. After a certain election in which a few little people had a few problems, and most of them were in the Liberal Party. There's not going to be anybody left there in the Western Australian Parliament. And they marched everywhere, including to Canberra, and, of course, Demo Crazy. Women were there, they were on the steps of the Parliament House, but ScoMo was nowhere to be seen.
Look, I think there's a pretty broad consensus in the public's eye, but it's growing within the Liberal Party and within the coalition that this has not been handled well. So eventually, Scott Morrison and Maurice Payne, the Minister for Women, said that they would actually meet with the organisers of this march, and... They didn't come out to them. And like this was a protest. There were protests around the country. It galvanised further the importance of this issue, the critical importance of this issue about workplaces being safe and stopping sexual harassment.
And it's important for ScoMo to come out.
Well, it's the Scott. When you've got people marching on the streets. It's a good idea to go and meet them and listen to them and show empathy. And that wasn't seen to happen. And Michael McCormack, the Deputy Prime Minister, said that he was too busy. He wouldn't be able to go meet them.
He's a busy man, isn't he?
Well, he's a busy man, but
he really gets down to... He's got a very tight agenda.
I think the point is an issue doesn't go away if you try and ignore it when people are marching in the streets. And... So just today, Russell Broadbent, a prominent backbencher within the coalition, basically publicly saying to the PM, this has been mishandled and you've got to do something.
Stormin' Norman, when people are marching down the streets in Lismore, does the mayor come out and see them? Is that what happens?
Well, there was actually a march in the streets of Lismore during the weekend.
Brilliant.
The mayor was there.
The mayor was there. That's what you need.
A marching mayor.
The mayor. Does the mayor have hair there?
Yes.
He's not a bald like mayor?
Dr. Zeus. Non-racist Dr. Zeus.
No, of course.
I think the point here, though, Stan Marvin, is that part of the protest really is about power imbalance. You know, power imbalance in Parliament itself, power imbalance in our society across the board between men and women. And the people marching were asking the Prime Minister and the Minister for Women to come out and speak to them in a public forum. And it would have been undoubtedly awkward, and they would have felt a little bit intimidated, but they could have done it. And instead, the Prime Minister said, no, I will only talk to you on my terms, in my office, away from anyone else being able to see what's going on.
And that's how you readdress the power imbalance, right?
Exactly. And he said, and it's almost typical Scott Morrison sort of form. When an issue of this comes around, where people are saying, we think that there's a problem here, he goes and demonstrates the problem again through his very own actions.
Yeah, well, he's trying to make it, you know, completely clear, isn't he, that this is the problem. That's the way that he works. Now, he's also had a further problem with the staffer that used to be on his staff a couple of years back and has moved to the Department of Housing or somewhere insignificant. I'm not sure where he ended up. But you've gone down to Tasmania. Good on you, Stormer Norman, to find out about this.
I've been doing some research.
Tell us a little bit about that. You've got a Greens member there that's outraged. And, well, she's upset. She said it's a vile insult.
Not happy.
But she was talking about this in Parliament, under parliamentary privilege, as I understand it.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder if there were some cross wires, though, Stephen Marvin.
Yeah.
Coming from, as you've pointed out, I normally reside in the Northern Rivers, where the phrase meth head is used quite liberally.
That's right.
Hey, meth head, where are you going?
Yeah.
And I did notice.
Hey, meth head, you got any weed?
It's a
common greeting in Lismore, isn't it?
That no one's using it.
Not
you go out in the street and no one says, "G'day, meth head, how you going?"
Uh-huh.
So it's quite an unusual phrase down here. So I can understand why the leader of the Greens in Tasmania did take offence.
So, well, could you, after you finish this program, could you take a waltz down Davey Street and just give that a go? Just say, you know, "Hello, meth head," to anybody who walks by.
More seriously, Stephen. What this whole palaver illustrates, and quite like what else has been going on in Canberra, is that our political system is highly adversarial, adrenaline fueled, and quite masculine and patriarchal in how it is structured and how it operates.
Great, isn't it? Bloody great.
So in that sort of, in that very aggressive environment, personal insults are sort of thrown around and people don't necessarily think in the broader community that sort of behaviour is probably inappropriate.
Yeah.
And we really need to look at how can we make politics in general more respectful and more, you know, just more reasonable. I mean, it's we're seeing these examples of egregiously bad behaviour, and we just can't. Something is wrong with the way our politics works. We need to address it. And politics, instead of being the lowest common denominator, actually needs to show, our politicians need to show some leadership in all of this.
Yeah, and Demo Crazy, what sort of offensive remarks do you normally make walking down the street?
Well, I try not to make them, but I would say that this has been pointed out this week by the Liberal politician Nicole Flynn, that this is an issue that goes to all of us. And to echo what Stormer Norman's saying, when you've got a close race, when it's a seat in the balance, and it will marginal seats that is going to determine who forms government, it does bring to the fore a lot of this this personal attacks. And Nicole Flynn spoke in Parliament, and she's spoken before about how campaigners targeting her have graffitied the office. Like, at the end of the day, we are talking about people having safe workplaces, and when you there's that balance between the right to free speech and being able to maybe graffiti a bit of free speech, but if it's getting into personal slurs against someone on their workplace, that doesn't make someone feel safe. And that's definitely, she says, that is why she is going to be retiring from politics at the next election.
Mm, that's right. I mean, we do have standards here on the gristle. It's very hard to find out what they are, but certainly that they shouldn't be any lower than what happens at Parliament House in Canberra. Because it doesn't get much
lower. I don't think any workplace can be lower than the standards of Parliament House in Canberra, and that's what Australians are shocked about.
Yeah, it's dreadful. Now, look, in speaking in Parliament House, the upper chamber was the scene of a bit of excitement, I think it was yesterday, as the Industrial Relations Bill was whizzing through. I think it was the original brainchild of Christian Porter. Unfortunately, one of the missing in action ministers who can't quite make it in at the moment. They're in the prefects have put them into the naughty corner. Who knows when we're going to see some of these ministers back on deck. But Stormer Norman, you know, there was hardly anything left of this bill, was there? It was a bit of a rump of a bill by the time it went through. I mean, you know, even wage theft. Somebody was, you know, who was against wage theft?
Well, as it
Sterling
out,
Griff or somebody, like, what's going on?
As it turned out, the federal government, which put up the bill, then voted against it, or at least parts of it, almost in a fit of pique, when it became clear that most of the bill was going to be rejected by the Senate. The section of it relating to wage theft and to increased penalties for businesses that deliberately and systematically don't pay their staff correctly, the federal government said, well, we're going to vote against this and withdraw it because we didn't get our own way on everything else. So the whole thing turned into something of a farce. But in the end, the only changes that got through were relating to the conversion of casual employees to permanent employees after 12 months. And pretty much everything else, well, everything else got voted down.
But I'd like to point out, Storm, that out of this wreckage came a huge piece of reconciliation between Sally McManus from the ACTU and the Council of Small Businesses, Peter Strong. Mm. First time ever they have agreed on something, anything at all, on a platform in Canberra. And there they were together. A bit of togetherness from the Council of Small Business and the ACTU. Amazing. Amazing how these things can bring people together, isn't it?
And that's what I'd like to focus on, because the government clearly put forward priorities that wage theft was not an issue, and not an important issue for them, but the definition of casuals was. But also, we've got to look at the history of this government, and pretty much a year ago today, they were saying that the pandemic was happening and we all needed to download the COVID Safe app, which didn't work and then disappeared from political jargon. That was not a solution to us living more safely as a society. But they also said that the way to rebuild out of the pandemic for our economy was through industrial relations reform, and that's gone nowhere in a year. So this is a government that talks a big game and then doesn't deliver.
Well, look, I think they're trying. Aren't they trying, Demo? They're triers, aren't they, this government?
They're shirkers. They're shirkers and they're avoiders and they're deflectors. It's not their job to do most things. They don't hold hoses. They don't go and meet protesters campaigning against crime.
Tony Abbott used to hold up. I shouldn't go into that. And we might just have a quick break before we move on. And this is something, you know, for all those people in Canberra. It's Fox's Single Bread from 1976.
And began to be.
Well, that wasn't it.
Done. Don't move that down top.
a bit of a single bed problem, which, you know, often happens, I think, around the environs of Parliament House. But those are the sorts of things that we chew over here on the Gristle 2SER 107.3. Good to have you back, Gristlers. And, of course, you know, one of the things that's been happening the last couple of days was the police commissioner thinking of problems that he could solve. He's a lateral thinker, the old police commissioner, Mick Fuller, here in New South Wales. He says, look, we're going to have an app. That's going to fix all the consent problems we've got here. Stick it on the app, and, you know, when things get hot and heavy, you start firing up the alarm. I mean, you have to make sure you've got enough, you know, battery left, I suppose, though, don't you? What do you think of this idea, Storm and Norman?
Well, it's interesting.
Interesting, isn't it?
Interesting. And the COVID Safe app hasn't exactly set the world on fire, so... but, you know, maybe. Maybe RootSafe would do a little bit better. I imagine that you're probably going to have to leave the application open, though. I'm sure.
Well, speak for your own personal life there, Storm and Norman.
There's not a lot to be said for this idea, and I think even the Commissioner has probably acknowledged that by now.
Yeah, well, demo crazy. I think Gladys Berejiklian herself came out and really sort of hose this down with a fire brigade strength hose as quickly as possible.
So she holds a hose.
I'm sure, and she holds a high office as well.
Yeah. Look, this is. I think it is important that we look to the way that other countries are dealing with issues, and in this case, Denmark has introduced such an app.
The home of naughty videos.
Well, what I was going to say is it clearly shows that something is rotten in the state of Denmark because this has just been...
You get the classics here on the Gristle, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, this has been panned by across the boards because there are just so many issues for it. And
panned
sure
by MasterChef.
We should be looking to technology for some solutions, but the clear answer on this one is there needs to be more education in schools about what consent means, what people are comfortable with, and that's not just around sexual relations, that's around how close people are, it's about our interactions, and that those people we're interacting with feel comfortable, and in this case, yeah, the police minister has very much missed the mark.
Yeah, and Gristlers, we remind you that you should get the consent of an adult before listening to the Gristle here on 2SER 107.3. Yes, Stormin, you can.
Just add to this discussion that the defence of the police commissioner has largely been that at least he's got people talking about the idea of consent. And at best you could say that it has created such a ruckus that maybe there are people who otherwise haven't engaged with this issue for one way or another who, for the first time, have started thinking about it. And that's probably the best you can say for what he's done, that yeah. he's generated that discussion. But as Demo Crazy sort of alluded to, that just the fact that people are discussing it is probably setting the bar a bit low. We need to move beyond that, yeah. You would think, and to actually start addressing this in a more serious way than what is essentially a fairly frivolous suggestion.
Yeah, and he's copped a bit of criticism for this.
Oh, I like it.
But maybe he should just cop it sweet, poor old Mick. Anyway, look, you know, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt here on the Gristle because nobody else does, and I think poor Mick Fuller, he's had a go, hasn't it? Yeah, that's what it's all about. You've got to have a go, get a go and have a go, or something that's your go, have a go, something like that. I have to check the spin doctors to see and work that one through. But look, the other thing that was a bit concerning during the week too was the problems with our vaccine. Now, we're supposed to be rolling out here in Sydney and everywhere, really. Yet, you know, the federal health minister, who's just out of hospital, thank goodness, was saying that we should all contact our GPs and find out when we're going to get the jab. And, of course, you know, all the GPs nearly had a meltdown as they watched their telephones have a meltdown. I mean, you know...
And they've quite clearly said that the people answering those calls, their receptionists, were very much having a meltdown because people were pretty fired up about wanting to get the jab as quick as possible, and they didn't have them to didn't have vaccines to be able to book people in, and there was a bit of bit of abuse to people working the desks at GPs around the country. So apologies to them, not from me personally, but
for
what
apologize.
Happened to them this week. Yeah,
but I was thinking, we better do a bit of digging on this, a bit of research and so forth. And so we found out that a lot of the European countries are saying, how are we to explain to our population that we are going to, send off all of our vaccines when we haven't even got our own population vaccinated? And then we find out that there was this problem with AstraZeneca vaccine anyway. The clots that are, going to be running around, the clots are going to get in your veins and so forth. And, but of course, it's only like 37 people, which is way underneath what the normal population is. So now Europe have come out and said, oh, yes, it's safe. It's all safe now. And so we're okay with the AstraZeneca. But, of course, in the meantime, Australia has just found out that PNG is really on a downward slope. I mean, Storm and Norman, we could have a real crisis up here on our very doorstep, couldn't we?
We could indeed. And it's probably time for us to ask ourselves a serious question about ethically whether we should in fact put our rollout of the vaccine back in order to deal with the crisis in our region first. And instead of all rushing out to the doctors to get vaccinated as quickly as possible, perhaps Australia, as a country that largely has the pandemic under control, could wait a bit longer. And maybe we should be putting our resources into our region, into our neighbours like PNG, who have more pressing problems.
So I'd add to that. And so Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as the US president during World War II and beforehand, he basically made this analogy in a fireside chat with the USA population over the radio, just like the good listeners of 2SER are used to, and said, look, when your neighbour's roof's on fire, you need to hold a hose. And we've got a Prime Minister that doesn't want to hold a hose, and the need in Papua New Guinea is so great, and the cases in Queensland over the last week, the majority of them are returned workers, Australian workers from Papua New Guinea. And the proximity, like the Torres Strait Islands and the PNG mainland are just a dinghy ride away. So, yeah, the priority has to be helping out PNG as quickly as possible.
Can I add to that, Starvin Marvin, that the good people of Mullumbimby have already offered to give their vaccines to Papua New Guinea?
Have they? and I suppose
straight away.
They're willing to give them bottles of unfluoridated water as well. Well, any unfluoridated water that they don't need, they can send north as well. Very, very good of the good people of Mullumbimby. Excellent, excellent news there.
And I'd just add as well that
go ahead.
That Italy passed 100,000 dead from COVID-19 during this week.
Dear, what a terrible statistic!
And so it's interesting our Australian Prime Minister has been talking up the rule of law a lot lately in relation to the Christian Porter, the allegations against him, but also in relation to contracts, and that Australia signed and paid for these the vaccines and Europeans should pass them through. But at the end of the day, Australia's had less than 1,000 people who died of COVID-19. We've had very few people die lately because the states have been able to get onto the contact tracing and minimise leakage, I guess, out of the hotel quarantine system.
Or just put up a wall, hard border.
And
that's what they do in WA, isn't
well.
It? But, that's successful.
But European nations are really copying it. And the more that around the world COVID-19 is brought under control, whether it's in Italy, whether it's under PNG, that reduces the chance that we're going to get more variants that are more contagious. And there's not much point if Australians all get vaccinated and then a new strain comes along and wipes out the human civilization.
Yes, that could help climate change, though.
That could.
But anyway, in the meantime,
there's always a silver lining.
As always, about this time of the gristle, we take a quick look across the Pacific there, across the horizon, And, of course, you know, there's been a little bit of... we haven't heard a lot about what Joe Biden was thinking until very recently, where he has labelled the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, a killer. Stormin' Norman. Is that a bit inflammatory? Would you go up to Vlad and call him a killer?
Well, it's maybe better than meth head. I don't know.
There's a lot of people getting upset lately, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that to his face, but Joe Biden did have the advantage of being, several continents away at the time. So,
where was he? In Siberia?
But I can understand a little bit of enmity there. Vladimir Putin probably did do a fair bit to try and help Donald Trump along the way. So I guess there's, they've got history,
Have they?
Yeah.
What was the history? I thought they got on very well in the Ukraine.
Careful there. The bit I'd add to that is that I'm not sure, it depends which audience you're talking to, right? But
Gristlers. We're talking to Gristlers.
We are. This is very true. That's right. But for Joe Biden calling Putin a killer, I think that probably plays well in the USA. But to the Russians, they all know that he's a killer. And they probably enhances
Mr. Navalny and what he thinks.
Yeah, well, it probably enhances his political stakes, or at the very least,
right.
It quells dissent to just be reminded of the fact that he's a killer. But then Putin came back today and said to Biden, "Well, it takes one to know one." Well, I haven't heard that one since I left primary school, I don't reckon. But I also don't think, for many people,
saying, colloquial speech.
Many people in the USA are saying that. Biden's lacking a bit of backbone, and I think that being called a killer by Putin effectively may increase Biden's stakes in the USA. So it swings around.
I think if he's going to make a trip to Russia, he should take Tony Abbott with him as a bit of a bit of muscle in the background or something. Yeah.
Tony's available.
Yeah, he's available. He's available for most things. US also have been running around in one of their lesser-known states, Alaska, chatting to the Chinese. Now, things going to go worse to worse with US Sino relations, Demo?
Well, it seems to be a bit like marriage counselling for a power couple. In the USA and China, the two largest economies in the world, and they're basically just having a semi-private, semi-public forum to air their grievances, which is interesting. And Australia's been mentioned along the way, so we'll see how this develops.
Mm. Well, yeah. Australia is essentially the child in that relationship, and America's just saying we're not going to get back together with you unless you stop being so mean to Australia, which is an interesting place for us to be in.
Well, I'm glad somebody is thinking that we've been, maligned with our exports of barley and our exports of
wine,
lobsters and, lobsters. All these things. We've had industries devastated thanks to this, point scoring from some of our erstwhile friends, but I'm hoping that tomorrow is another day, and it could be a very, very wet day, according to a lot of the bureau predictions. And we're getting told to stay indoors here in Sydney. I don't know what it's like for you in Hobart, Stormin. We're getting told
Beautiful.
We can't go out.
No rain. I might have to get a boat back home. Yeah. By the sound of it.
Anyway, look, it's been great being with you, Gristlers. We're going to have to sign off very, very soon. And thank you very much, Stormin' Norman, for phoning in from the lovely climate of